Fanatics, it's Chris Williams here, and I want you to mark your calendars right now, April 3rd and 4th. It's going to be the third annual Forever True Day with our friends from the Iowa State University Foundation. I'm encouraging everyone out there, students, alumni, faculty, friends to the entire state of Iowa, come together and support Cyclone Nation. I'm putting out a challenge to all of our listeners again. We made an incredible impact for students at Iowa State University last year, and I'm challenging you to do it again. It's coming up on April 3rd and 4th. You can find out more at forevertrueday.com.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The Cyclone Fanatic Podcast is fueled by Cody Rhode. And recorded in the Wild Rose Casino and Hotel Studio.
What's up? Welcome to Williams and Bloom on your Sunday. It is March the 10th, and we've got, one of these shows where you could go for hours upon hours, but this is how we love it. I am heading to Kansas City tomorrow, cover the Iowa State women. Connor Ferguson has been down there. We are recording this before Big 12 wrestling tonight, so save your angry tweets at us when we don't talk about wrestling tonight, because we're not going to ruin it. And we didn't really want to have to record this at 10:30 tonight. So Jacqueline Cordova will be down there for us covering Big 12 wrestling. Cyclones have a real shot to bring home their first team title since 2009. Let's hope that that happens. My name is Chris Williams. I'll bring in Brent Bloom in a moment. We are presented, as always, by our friends at MechDyne and the MechDyne Corporation. Our good friends who have been the presenting sponsor of this very podcast since its inception. Goes all the way back to the pandemic. And here we are today, crazy enough, like 4 years later. It's about 4 years ago where the world shut down. It seems like it was just yesterday, but we wouldn't be able to do it without our friends at MechDyne. Check them out at MechDyne.com for all of your technology needs. But more importantly, they love hiring Iowa Staters. This is a huge company with offices all over the world, and they're always looking for different skill sets, and they're an incredible company. I always tell you, someday I'm going to get fed up with all of you. I'm just kidding. Calm down. But if I do, if you guys ever kick me out, first thing I'll do is apply at MechDyne, because I want to work for a great company like that. So can you. Let's bring in my main man, Brent Bloom, here into the Wild Rose Casino Studios. If you're listening on the podcast network, this one, we're trying to get these all up on YouTube now as you guys are, you're speaking and we're attempting to listen. Bloom is recording from his home office today as I am at mine. And wild, wild time of year. We actually delayed starting this because of this fight in the LSU South Carolina women's game, which was just crazy. We have like brothers coming out onto the floor.
Whole bench was ejected.
Yeah, there's no bench.
There's nobody left.
We watched the Drake made the NCAA tournament today. That was fun to watch, unless you hate Drake, which is totally fine. I don't care. And I'm heading to Kansas City first thing in the morning to get there. I was floored. I didn't know it was a 1:30 tip. I just assumed the semis were at night. And so I was still going to like have a couple of like meetings and stuff in the morning, and I had to like reschedule two guys named Chris, and like, it's like, oh no, I got to get down there. But I'm looking forward to it. The Iowa State women with an incredible win on Saturday. Let's start right there, and then we'll spend the rest of the show on the men. The women really, that's the best type of win, Brent, when everything can be tested and you still find a way. And that's what they did. Baylor throws on this full court press. It looked really bad for about 5 minutes. Iowa State couldn't even get the ball across half court. They found a way. Addie Brown is she's absolute nails in crunch time. Yep. Emily Ryan played her heart out. And Anadi Crooks Baylor didn't have an answer for her. And when's the last time, you know, Iowa State, and you look at those games, the Finley teams against Texas, Baylor over the years, what's the kryptonite? Iowa State has never had the big to compete, and it's just such an equalizer now. They can beat anybody on any given night and bring on Oklahoma in the semis, go and win the damn thing. That's my mindset.
That was so fun. I mean, and I don't know if you saw Finley in post-game locker room, yes. But...
Well, Bill's getting soft over the years.
I don't know what's going on. Yeah, he started.
I love it.
Very emotional, but he clearly cares. I mean, he cares for all of his teams. But I think this one's extra special considering everything that it went through from literally a year ago when Iowa State won the Big 12 tournament to now. And how about this, C-Dub? Iowa State's beat Baylor now 4 times in a row in women's basketball. Thought that? I mean,
that's a great stat. Yeah,
2 years ago, 3 years ago, you wouldn't have thought that would be possible. So.
They're not where they were at the Mulkey era, but they're still really good.
Still a top 20 right? team.
Yeah, they're still like a Sweet 16 caliber team every year.
And I just think Iowa State's getting better and better. It seems like to me Emily's getting healthier. She's playing longer. She's just been a lot more efficient. And Addie Brown, I know Addie gets the headlines, but Addie is just, she does everything so well. I thought Kelsey stepped up and made a couple big shots again. Bellinger did again. This team just seems like it's really, really rocking and rolling right now, and super fun for them and excited to see. Oklahoma's really good. Everybody knows Oklahoma's really good. But I think Iowa State's playing with house money at this point, and you know Iowa State's going to be well represented. I think that was another credit to the fan base. Iowa State gets down in that fourth quarter. I don't think Hilton South, a lot like the men's game against BYU, those fans refuse to let Iowa State lose.
Great point.
Which was awesome. I mean, just an awesome crowd for a women's basketball quarterfinal game. And Iowa State showed out, and those players stepped up to the challenge. It was really one of those super memorable games.
It was, and they have an opportunity to do another one on Monday again. That is a 1:30 tip-off. So I was thinking about this today. One of the unfortunate things of this BYU situation is I'm guessing that half those people are going to have to go to work.
Yeah.
But if they would have been able to play the semi today,
it would have been packed.
Yeah, it would have been huge crowd. I mean, you would have had more people because you would have had people drive down 35 to just go to the game today. And hell, maybe of them say, well, if we win, we'll stick around and get a hotel room tonight and stay for the championship. And it, you know. Whatever, you can't do anything about it.
I wasn't
thinking about that at the beginning, but then that blows. Because a lot of those people would have stayed the night last night and but whatever.
Then it throws in that weird like, okay, what do you do on Tuesday if you go down there on Monday? I know you don't have a problem with that, but other people's like, well, I'm just gonna sit there all day on Tuesday and not do anything and Wednesday. So I mean you hope you win, I guess you play Tuesday night. You know, factor that.
I got plenty of work to do.
Yeah,
I've had a sick kid all week. Elise has been, she's finally starting to feel better. She hasn't been to daycare in like 10 days now. And my wife worked all week because my wife is working less during spring break and the NCAA tournament because of my schedule. Yeah. So like my wife doesn't work much the next 2 weeks. Well, so I had Elise just following me around because like there's certain weeks out of the year where I just can't not work. And that was one of them. Like I can't just be like, oh, I'm going to take 3 days off to care for the toddler. So she just has been flying around with me and been a trooper. Had a fun experience yesterday, like just watching my daughter, Cameron. She really cares about the women's. It's so funny because like, Uncle Otz is basically like on speed dial for her, but she doesn't even give a shit. She just wants to watch the women's games. It's so funny. Like she's like, but her watching that comeback was like one of the first times where I'm like, man, she's really engaged in this. Like, she really, really. And then she'll want to watch other games because of it. And she's like, well, who do we play next? And I told her, and she's like, well, I want to watch that game. And like, it was neat. And all this stuff really matters. This women's basketball, like, reckoning that we're having in our country. And it's really cool. And I'm glad that, you know, Iowa State's a huge part of it. And I was thinking about it too. It's just, and I know that your collective is constantly working with the women's program, but I mean it, man. Like, they're going to be a top 10, 15 type team in the preseason next year.
No doubt.
With all sophomores.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they're going to be. Buckle up. Get ready.
Yes, because you get Emily back too, which we haven't really talked about a whole lot because last week got so busy. But that is phenomenal news. And getting Emily back also helps, I think, get that class to all come back as well. Because everybody loves Emily. She's basically a second coach. But you're right. This team next year, I have to look deep into the Big 12, but Texas is gone. Oklahoma's gone. They finished 1-2. I would have to think Iowa State's going to be right there as a preseason favorite to win the Big 12 in women's basketball. And what a story from, again, a year ago, or I guess less than a year ago, when Iowa State gets bounced in the NCAA tournament. You have some key transfers, and yet Iowa State is potentially in a much healthier position than even was after that. Because, like, Christy, I mean, if you think about it, everyone's like, well, you know, they'll get through this class, a.k.a. the Ryan Donarski, you know, who was it? Aubrey Jones and then Fierbach. And then, you know, we'll see what's up with Bill after that. Well, now it's like he's got three more years of runway with this great team. And there's no reason to think that Iowa State's not going to continue to get better. The players that have come in the recruiting class, I think probably a couple of them will play. And then don't forget, Iowa State's got a player in Lisa Williams who played for LSU that sat out this year.
Yeah.
That will definitely play. And we'll see what kind of – she'll definitely play. I don't know if she'll be a starter. But also, Iowa State, you know, if things go well with the collective side, you can certainly help the women's basketball cause, can be active to get a couple additional rotation players in the portal too. So it's like, yeah, next year's team could be really, really good, but I'm not down on this team at all. I think this team can beat anybody. I really do. You know, save for one of those top three seeds. Iowa State's already proven it was right there with Iowa, and Iowa's probably going to be a one seed after it won today. Ohio State lost.
And I just think, too, it's like they're going to find a way to make Clark a one seed.
I would think like, so. And
they want TV ratings. They want all that stuff.
I'd be
and they're going to put Iowa as far away from South Carolina as possible.
Yeah, they're going to be on the opposite side.
They want Caitlin in the champion. It's just a fact.
I wonder, you know, I saw on the bracketology yesterday during the game, it had Iowa State as a 9 seed. I'd like to think that win over Baylor jumped them up at least a line, maybe two.
I bet they'll be a 7.
You got to avoid that 8-9 game. You just do. Like that, it's going to be hard. If you play a 1 seed now, and honestly, if Iowa State's an 8-9, I like I talked about the other day, I think they would put them in Iowa City. We'll see, but you'd like to, if you can beat Oklahoma, I think you jump up maybe even to a 6, and then you can really start talking about stringing a couple games together.
Williamson Bloom, okay, that game is again at 1:30. We'll move on to the men.
It's on ESPN2, by the way.
Okay,
so you can watch
Connor Ferguson.
That's why it's on at 1:30, because they got so much basketball programming they had to have something in the afternoon.
Connor's down there now. I will be joining him to cover the women for the rest of the week. Men obviously jump to Thursday after that. We are having our get together on Wednesday, so I'll just stay down there. Brent, do you know how many tickets we have left for this thing? Cyclone Fanatic's name is on it with the collective. Your wife is basically the person in control here. Do we have any tickets left?
Yeah, 40 tickets still.
40 tickets still to go. Okay, so 3 to 5 on Wednesday at the Liney's Bar in Power and Light.
Yep.
You get a beer mug. It's $20 to get in. The proceeds go to the We Will Collective. Bloom, when is the transfer portal open?
March 18th.
Okay. So eight days. It's $20, but it's a donation to We Will, and you get the sweet beer mug, and you get to hang out with us.
we have a matching campaign for all dollars raised in March are being matched up to $200,000. So technically, your $20 ticket has an impact of $40.
Look at this.
Whoa.
Look at this.
Doubling up.
Go to We Will and Cyclone Fanatic social feeds. They're all over links and stuff. You do have to have a ticket to get in. So
yeah, and
we've already sold over 200, but that we want to get it to capacity if possible. And this place again is a place that is prepared for the crowd and all that stuff. So yes,
and they will have food, by the way. They will have food. So now you have to pay for that food. But again, we're trying to. This is a fundraiser here. This isn't a. I would love to have everybody just come in for free, but we're trying to. Again, the portal opens on March 18th.
What time is it? One more time. When's the portal open? March
18th. I don't know. I don't know if it's like 12:01. Like, are we going to have to be up in the middle of the night or what's going on? But we'll figure
it out. Shout out to my friends at Plaza RV as well. They've been a big helper of the We Will Collective. Good sponsor of Cyclone Fanatics. I bought two campers from there now. And I couldn't say anything better about the experience. There are friends here in Bondurant, a locally owned company. Father, son are running that place for the most part now. These people are the big Cyclone fans for one, but two, it's just like anything, man. When you get that local experience of the, like, after the sale is the thing. Like, a lot of people buy campers for the first time, Brent, and they don't really know how to maintenance them. These guys are fantastic. You just shoot them an email. They'll give you tips. Like, they're really good when it comes to the service and stuff. And I couldn't recommend them anymore. It's one of the best things I ever did for my family was to buy a camper. We love it. Go to plazarv.com. You can support a good Cyclone family-owned company this spring. If you're in the mood, if you've been thinking about this for a while, maybe the kids are getting a little bit older, I'd highly recommend it. We do it. I'm taking my camper. I've got camping spots at both NASCAR races in the Midwest this spring.
Oh, buddy.
Kansas Speedway and also Iowa Speedway. Daddy's going to be... got the camper out there.
I need to do some commercials with Plaza, because if an idiot like me who literally can't do anything can figure
you are an idiot out, with this stuff
absolutely horrible. Although, let the record reflect, because my guy Luke on social media was giving me the business yesterday. I did cook last night. I've fired up some boneless wings, C-Dub, or not boneless wings, some bone-in wings on the Traeger. Look at me. So
look at this guy.
When it comes to RVs, I'm an idiot. I ran that thing with no problem. Like, I figured it out thanks to the help of those guys at Plaza.
Last but certainly not least, don't be a fool. Sign up with Colin Newell for your insurance needs. Now, from Farm Bureau Financial Services, of course, he's saving me $1,000 a year, and I get better coverage. There was this Brock Purdy wedding in Des Moines this weekend.
I heard
that.
Did you
see the TMZ reports? TMZ was... the paparazzi was walking around downtown Des Moines, and I feel like we missed an opportunity with our guy Colin Newell to have, like, Cyclone paparazzi on the scenes snapping photos of Brock Purdy and all these members of the San Francisco 49ers walking around downtown.
Better question, why didn't we get invited?
I know. Somebody asked me that the other day, like, did you get an invite? And I was like, no. I like Brock, and, like, I think we have a good relationship, but I don't think I'm at that level.
You're not in the phone?
Yeah, I wish. Well, I'm in the phone. I know I'm in the phone because...
You're in the phone? Okay. You might be
on
the phone.
I gave him his NIL deals before you even existed. It was me. When that old deal started, it was me. It was crazy. That first week of NIL was insane. I'm going to have to put that in the book.
Yeah.
It was because there wasn't a collective, and all these guys wanted to make money. They're like, well, we can't do it through the school. So they reached out to me, and I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I feel like this is illegal. Like, I'm going to lose my. Right. Yeah. Like, I've been taught for 15 years that you can't do this. Anyways.
If people don't know that, Brock's now wife actually played volleyball at Iowa State. Then she transferred to UNI, I believe. And now her sister's on the Iowa State volleyball team.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, so that's good. Good Cyclone family. Keep it in the family, Brock.
We'll get back to the podcast in a minute. I want to remind you guys, April 3rd and 4th is Forever True Day with our friends from the Iowa State University Foundation. Putting out a challenge to all of you to go to forevertrueday.com and think about this beautiful online day of giving that celebrates philanthropy and Iowa State. Each and every year, I like to give to the marching band, I give to veterinary med, the Ivy College of Business, and more. You can pick out a thing that you're passionate about at Iowa State. That's what's beautiful about this. They take donations of any size. It's really about coming together. You can go learn more about it now. Check it out at forevertrueday.com.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Very cool. All right, so let's talk about this Iowa State men's team heading into the Big 12 tournament. They have a clunker down in Manhattan. Not entirely surprised based on how this thing has been trending. There's a good and bad thing about the data and analytics and all that stuff. Is like, it's really fun to check after wins. It's not fun to check after losses.
No.
Iowa State's offensive numbers continue to crater. One of the perks of being a premium subscriber, I am going to write out a bunch of my thoughts on this. I've done some research. We don't have time to do it all here. It's nothing, but I am doing like special type columns and stuff like that for our subscribers. So you guys will have it. But Brent, this team, this is too big of a statement. And I will say it right now because they could come out and wake up and bounce back. Like, they looked offensively broken at times on Saturday in Manhattan. You know, there's a lot of layers here. I could point out that I think Lipsy and Gilbert are shot. Like,
and that they're tired.
Yes. What they're doing defensively is actually incredible. Considering just like where their bodies look like to me, and it's like their shots aren't there. It's because they don't have legs. Momchilovic is a non-factor right now. He's a total non-factor. He's not engaged. He shot two times yesterday.
Not in a bad way. I just think it's a freshman thing. It's not like he's checked.
Yeah,
out.
I'm just saying he shot two times. Like,
right.
He's not looking, he's not seeking shots. I think what happened there is he was so good early that he rose to the top of the scouting report on a lot of these teams, and they've taken him away. The other thing I would note, and I think this is real. I would lean on basketball people who are smarter than me, but I watched last night's game again, unfortunately. And I think these teams are laying off of Trey King. And so I think they're basically making the old decision, we're not going to guard that guy as closely, and we're going to go heavier on everybody else. And I think, you know, Trey made Kansas pay. There have been times where he's hit some shots and really shown off that skill, but he's more of a body. He's more, we know what he is, right? Like, he's not this finesse type. What do you think of that? Because that's what I saw when I really, really paid close attention to it and I slowed it down, right? And it looked like sagging off of him a lot. And then it tightens everything up for everybody else. But this offense, man, like, if they're playing like this, they're not going to have the run we were hoping for. They've got to figure something out before the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I mean, just the data is reflective of the eye test at the moment. And Chris, since February 1st, Iowa State is 294th in the country in effective field goal percentage, aka...
Man, that's
they're not making enough shots and they're not making the right shots. So effective field goal percentage factors in the 3-point shot along with that. Now, in that same time frame, Iowa State is first in the country in defense. So you're always going to have a chance. You hit on a lot of really good things. Let's start from the top there. Iowa State needs Keyshawn and Milan to start being more factors on offense. You can't make an Elite Eight with those two doing what they have the past 2 weeks. Now, there are reasons for it. It's a scouting report deal. I think Milan is a freshman wall deal. I mean, he's been playing a lot of minutes. And then Keyshawn is definitely banged up. That's now no mystery. Taman's also banged up. But on the schematic standpoint, you are right. Iowa State's weakness, the way it runs its offense, is the bigs are a non-factor from outside, a.k.a. Hassan Ward and Rob Jones. They're never going to be stretched. So you got to keep them out of the way. Or when you're getting that pick and roll stuff, then you hope somebody gets downhill and get to the free throw line and then throw it to them for lobs. Well, that's not working either right now.
No.
And so what happens, like you said, and Trey's very similar, they are sagging off him. And it seems a lot like last February and March, where there's just way too much happening in the middle of the floor and not enough spacing and ball movement. And these coaches, again, the second time around, are really good. They're starting to figure out how you guard this Iowa State team. The ways to fix that are twofold. Number one, you got to start making some shots, particularly spreading the floor. And maybe it just means, I don't know. I mean, because it's like you still want Milan out there. Do you play Pavelski more? I'm not sure, because Rob Jones and Hassan Ward are never going to be floor stretchers. And Trey, I don't know if you can rely on it either. So it's like, I don't know how much you can do there. The other second thought that's causing problems right now is Iowa State is not getting to the free throw line as much as it did in the non-conference. And where Keyshawn Gilbert and Taman Lipsey were so good in the beginning part of the year is they were getting in the free throw line just, for lack of a better term, a crap ton. And that has since gone away. Iowa State, here, I'm just pulling it up real quick, has shot more than 20 free throws. Let's see, the last time Iowa State shot 20 free throws was February 3rd at Baylor. And Iowa State shot 20 or more free throws in every single non-conference game. So again, it's not getting called. So that's, I guess, a positive that maybe when you get to the NCAA, going to the rim, you'll start to get some of those calls. But now what's come down to is then when Taman and Keyshawn crashed in the paint, they're just flailing. They're not getting the foul calls. They're not getting the free throw line. That's what was effective earlier in the year.
Yeah, when
things got broken. And now that's not even working. So it just makes it look horrible. And so you've got multitude of factors, throw in confidence and tired legs, and here we are. And the data doesn't lie. The offense is not playing very well right now. And so I think it's an interesting theory of what do you do in the Big 12 tournament, because you want to get going, but you also want to save your legs. I'm not sure. It's a really fascinating strategic decision for Iowa State. The worst they're going to be is still a 3-seed in the NCAA tournament, even if you lose the first game. Could you use Keyshawn Gilbert to keep off his legs for the next 2 weeks? Absolutely. That would be great. But you still want to try and win the games as well and get him going offensively.
Unless, you know, I feel like if they were going to do that, they would have done that by now. With him and Lipsey.
Yeah,
like,
I think they're going to keep going. Well, it's an interesting thing, Cedar, because you remember last year, and I would almost like to see this in a weird way. In the game at Baylor at the end of the year, and then in the Big 12 tournament, TJ did that whole everyone's going to play deal. Remember that? Even Conrad got it. And they just did those line changes, even in the middle of the Big 12 tournament. It seemed to get Iowa State a different gear at that point, just something fresh and new. I would not be opposed to doing that, of getting Pav in there early, getting Omaha in there earlier, getting Watson in there early, just to get some different looks. And I think maybe just change the vibes a little bit, because it's going to be fun. You're in Kansas City. It's a different atmosphere. It also then saves the legs for the NCAA tournament. You can still do well, but the risk of that is if you do that and guys even lose confidence because of that, are you worse off? Potentially. And so this is a really interesting week, I think, for the men's basketball program. Is like, how do you want to attack this? You clearly want to win the games, but also you don't want to keep getting mileage on these guys, because ultimately your success is judged by the NCAA tournament, not in Kansas City.
Yeah, and, you know, I think, too, you still have a lot to play for.
Like, oh, absolutely.
We both agree that like a shorter stay in Kansas City might be better long term, but you're trying to get the best seed you can in Kansas. And now, like, see, you did lose this Kansas State game, which is not the end of the world. It didn't matter because Houston beat Kansas.
Yeah, and everybody else on that 2-3 line lost too yesterday, which was super correct. Helpful.
Which, yes, that helped too. So right now, like, I think Lenardi's wrong. I think Iowa State's still a 2 seed if they handed it out right now.
They're right on the edge.
I did a little investigating. I know somebody who's on the NCAA tournament committee that I can lean on to just help me understand these things. And, you know, I think this is how I look at it. Really, the difference between a 2 and a 3 seed, more than anything, is just you play a 15 or a 14, right? And then you play a 7 or a 6. Like that, that's, it doesn't really impact your location where you go. So really,
especially now, because Iowa State is going to stay ahead of both Kansas and Baylor.
The one thing it was put to me that would potentially be interesting I haven't even looked at a Big 12 bracket. I was going to do that in our Wiffles Hybrid segment. So is if Iowa State would lose to Baylor in Kansas City, there would be a potential because they had beaten Iowa State twice, where Iowa State could get shipped somewhere else. And then people will go, well, Baylor's closer to Memphis, correct? But remember what I told you like 3 weeks ago, Memphis is the closest location for a lot of those teams. So like Baylor's second closest would be Omaha, I believe. We don't know. Like that was how it was presented to me. I think Kansas is behind Iowa State. I don't think you have to worry about that. The Baylor situation, all I'm saying is I think if you win this first game, you're locked in there, right? So it's like, yeah, do you want to rest guys, or do you want to be locked in where you can have an NCAA tournament game with 20,000 Iowa State fans? Something to play for here. This isn't like when Bill Self had Embiid and he's like, oh, I'm just not going to play him. Like, this is a different deal.
Yeah, and I would... Again, I'm putting my optimistic hat on. I think Iowa State's in Omaha regardless. I really do. Because
Baylor's, you can go to Omaha as a 3 seed. That's what I'm trying to tell the fans. You don't have to be a 2 seed to go to Omaha.
Correct. That's what I'm saying right here. Because the factor here is both so in the opening round, Baylor's going to play Kansas. One of them is going to lose in the quarterfinal, which is helpful. And so that's good. So even if you play Baylor, that means Kansas would have lost to them the day before, and that would probably eliminate. I mean, Kansas was not even competitive against Houston. Like, at what point do we just?
We're gonna have that conversation.
Yeah, I mean, let's look at late February and March. I don't care if they beat Tennessee in November at this point. Now, I understand it is all, but you got to we got to have some. And I know Iowa State's not playing great, but neither. You look at yesterday; almost every 2 seed lost yesterday. So it's not like Iowa State is the only one that on the second go-around in conference play is having some trouble with these coaches who are really good. So I'm not real concerned. I just think it's an interesting conversation of I just getting some more guys some run in Kansas City, I think is okay. I think that's okay.
I think they need to play Pavelski a little more just because both of those guards are so tired.
Yeah.
And he can play 5 more minutes.
But even yesterday, I agree. I'm team play Pav a little bit more in Kansas City. But even yesterday, his scouting report's out on him. They are closing out hard.
Yeah, no, you're even right. He's not as effective as he was a month ago.
Even he can't get 3-point shots off right now.
You're right.
So it's just like, you want to spread the floor. Ideally, you spread the floor with a 6'8 guy who can shoot it. Well, that's Milan, and he's not making anything right now. So
I think the other point I would make, and I don't know what the answer is to this, Iowa State hangs its hat on playing harder than everybody else and just being insane on defense, playing like your hair's on fire.
Yep.
With that, man, that's really hard to win that way for 30 games in a row. You know, a lot of these teams, and I don't know what the answer is because it's clearly like they went 13-5. They're going to be a 2 or a 3 seed. We're all happy with this season.
Absolutely.
Right, like we're all thrilled with where everything is, but this is the third year in a row where you've seen this exact thing play out. Now,
yeah,
this year we were like, well, hopefully there's enough talent to like get you through it. that team yesterday looked like the teams from the last 2 years. Like, it just did. And that's the difference where it's like, man, like, what do you think, Williams? What needs to happen? Momchilovic needs to be a bigger part of this thing. He's the spread it out guy, right? Well, he's the guy.
He's the guy that you can't defend. He's so big.
Yeah. Just,
honestly, like,
BYU, like, I mean, he still got it, but I think his confidence is off. It just looks like it.
If I'm never going to be a coach at that level. I would run as many things I could for Momchilovic in Kansas City. Just keep say, buddy, you shoot 20 times a game. I don't care the result. I mean, it's maybe a little bit hyperbolic, but Iowa State needs that guy because he's the one player that you cannot guard when he's on. He's that indefensible player, and if you don't have him going, everything gets super hard for everybody else. That's clearly proven the case. When Iowa State's good, Momchilovic is good. Because you look at, Chris, look at his numbers during this recent skid of Iowa State's offense. So again, since February 10th, really. Here are Milan's point total. 5, 2, 10, 9, 8, 4, 11, 6, 0. You know, you look at the weeks before that, it was double figures in every single game.
Yeah,
it's just not, it is no mystery that is directly correlated. So I do whatever I can to get that guy going. I think the frustrating part was he only shot twice. It's like, if he's not on, then maybe run something for him. Maybe they tried to run something for him, just wasn't there. I'm not sure, but it just felt like Iowa State, to reach its high end, needs him to get going. And we need it because I think the defense is good enough for sure. So it's getting him going and then just trying to manufacture some points at the rim because right now there's just not much there. And it is looking a lot like the last 2 years. So here's a question that is an off-season topic. If you're TJ and staff, do you reevaluate your MO in that? Because you've gotten here in conference play and it's been a pretty tight eight and a half person rotation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you try and it's hard to ease up on the way they play. It just is. But you try and play some more people because the problem is if you play more people but they don't know where you're going, then you're not as good. And everything you built, you know, maybe then isn't quite the same. So I think it's an interesting theoretical discussion, just like load management in the NBA. Thankfully, those guys can turn it on. The problem in college basketball is if you drop a bad game, it could kill you in your ratings and thus your seeding, and everything is dependent on building on each other for March. But if you're worn down and your legs are gone by the time you get to this point, does it really matter? I mean, it's an interesting conversation.
Yeah, I think that, man, for about a month and a half, 2 months, they had found the secret sauce. That team looked like a Final Four type team that could win a national championship, and they don't look like it now.
Yeah.
So can you recapture that magic? So like, I don't think you'd change up much in the offseason. I think it's tweaks here or there. It's like the, you know, it's like the college football coach that it doesn't matter now, but you have to reassess how you use the bowl practices or whatever to get your team.
Yep.
Yeah. Like I just knowing Ott's and like, they're not changing that mentality and they shouldn't like it. They play like he coaches, like his personality is like, you can't. That's what I said about Finley for all those years. It's like I loved Finley because of his passion and like, you know, now what might have to change is the players they recruit, because not everybody 10 years ago could play for Bill Finley because he was really intense and all that stuff. You make tweaks around it and then you let it. Ott will be a different coach in 10 years than he is now, but you can't fake it. And this works. It's just. They are a beaten down basketball.
I think you're going to have an interesting. So Iowa State can adjust itself a little bit even the next month, because what really limits at times Iowa State's offense is the fact that those bigs cannot step out and shoot a three.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be super interested who Iowa State targets in the portal, because obviously we know, you know, March 18th is when the portal opens, and it's going to be transfer big season for Iowa State because you're going to need several. Because I think, you know, think back to who TJ's coached in the past, a George Niang, a Mike Dom, two really brilliant offensive guys, but they could step out and shoot it. You can't do that with Ward and with Rob Jones and Hassan Ward right now. Now, those guys are great, and you have to play the style with them because that's what they do best. But I think it'll be interesting looking at what Iowa State chooses to do to alter potentially its style, and it'll start right away in that transfer portal season because that will dictate what Iowa State wants to do going forward with the style it will have to play. So again, a lot of this,
they were a really good offensive team there for a stretch, but like they still don't have a lot of 3-point shooters.
Never did. Yeah. I mean, that's like it. Milan covered up a bunch. And then, like I said, look at the numbers.
Gilbert was making some. Yeah. You know, thank God for Curtis Jones.
Oh, for sure. Because now he's not. Keyshawn hasn't. I mean, he was really good. Like, he carried Iowa State at times in that Baylor game in the first half and that Kansas game where he was making threes. You just can't count on it. And so that's why I really think you got to get number 22 going for sure. But then try and space the floor in some capacity. And I'm hoping once you get to the tournament, and it'll hurt Iowa State on the other end, but it gets called a little bit more around the rim. And so that free throw line will become an advantage again for Keyshawn, because largely he hasn't even been able to get there lately. And I know he's a little bit banged up, but also at the rim in the Big 12, it is just a slugfest. Like, you're just not getting anything in there. You're not getting any calls. And that has worked to Iowa State's benefit at times, but also it's been a detriment to the offense on the other side.
The only thing too, and this is hindsight and it didn't matter, but if for some reason that Baylor or the Kansas game with Houston would have been earlier, you could have just sat and just tanked and just did the low management thing, but whatever, you can't look back on it.
Yeah. I think it's interesting though.
Thing coming to college basketball, and I know there's people rolling their eyes, but it's already here, but it just doesn't get talked about.
No, I actually had a really good discussion on it. It was Tom Crean and Jot Passner on the pregame show yesterday, or maybe it was halftime, I don't remember. But like Tom Crean said, nobody plays in the country harder than Iowa State. You wonder what they're going to do in Kansas City with the style they play, aka the same conversation we're having. And more, if it's just one data point for the whole season, winning a conference championship, winning a tournament is great. I think you have to have that discussion, and we'll see how many bodies Iowa State plays on Thursday will be indicative to me of what that discussion looked like this week.
Well, that's it. You know, I think everybody's concerned right now, but this is still a good conversation to be having, believe it or not.
It'll
be a two
deal.
Or a three seed. And it's less indicative in the NCAA tournament too, because then it's a free for all. And it's true, a 14 can beat a three. We see it every year. But that one day turnaround, like, there's just, you hear these coaches all the time.
It's coming.
Say about Iowa State, like, you can't prepare for them. And unless you have prepared for them and you're seeing these teams for a second time, and, you know, Kansas State's like, they're not very good, but they know exactly what you're getting into. They're not intimidated by Iowa State.
No, and they knew, man, say what you want about
them. They scouted them well.
They had them. Yeah, there's nothing Iowa State threw at them that they haven't seen before. And I know I saw a lot of stuff. It's like, gosh, Iowa State needs to find some better plays on offense. It's like, you know, at some point, what K-State did in that game, K-State just stopped running plays. They're just driving it, dishing it, making shots. Iowa State has to find its curveball when the main stuff's not working.
The other, they're Audie Crooks, you know, like, that's the thing with that team. Like, she's just this eraser on offense. Iowa State has good offensive players, but they don't, like, Momchilovich kind of is that guy, but he hasn't been lately.
Correct.
The other point I would make about that game on Saturday is that Iowa State had the opportunities. They were getting live ball turnovers, and they would turn the ball over themselves because they got too fast. And it was like, oh my God, we got one of these. We've got to push. Or like, there were four or five wide open threes off of a live ball turnover that Iowa State just missed. And it's like, God, you make two of them, the game's completely different. So those are the things, like, you go to Kansas City in the week after, and you, frankly, you just hope that's what changes. Right.
I think it's interesting, because guess who's on the other side who you might play? It's Texas or K-State.
I saw that. So it's going to be an emotional barn
burner. Either way, it's going to be, I mean, obviously, that's why it's like, you can say it strategically, like, yeah, well, let's just play everybody. Well, you get in the heat of the moment, you don't want to lose to those guys again. You want to be, especially with that. It's going to be 6 o'clock at night on a Thursday. I mean, that's the thing. Is like that crowd is going to be charged up. Iowa State fans will be well lubricated, and we'll be ready to go. But I just think it'll be interesting if Iowa State decides to get Pab in there earlier, get Watson in there earlier, and you know, play 9 guys, play 10 guys, maybe if you get Omaha in there too.
All right, let's thank a few more of our sponsors, and we'll get into that Big 12 bracket with our friends from Wiffles Hybrids. Thank my buddy Jeff Kelderman, Kelderman Manufacturing. If you are in the need of laser cutting, he makes these badass like signs for people too, but it shows how like whatever. If you're an engineer out there and you're in the need for laser cutting, these guys are the best. They're down in Oskaloosa. Shout out to my guy Mark, who works down there as well. Just a great company. They've supported We Will a lot. What were you wanted to jump in there?
No, I want to say, like, if you hear us talk about Kelderman, just put it in the old search bar and you'll get a look for yourself. Like, do yourself
a favor.
We're
not effing around.
Yeah.
This is a legit group down there. Also, the Ivy College of Business. They've been on with us for a really long time, and we couldn't do what we do without them, and just a phenomenal partner of ours. Bloom knows more about the Ivy College of Business than like 95% of humans on the planet. So yeah, if you're thinking about getting that MBA or something, or if you are a young high school student listening and you're going to Iowa State, I tell journalism kids all the time, they want to know, oh, Mr. Williams, what advice do you have? I want to be you someday. I'll be like, get a business degree.
Yes.
With your journalism degree, stay for an extra half a year or whatever you need to do and get that business degree, because you can't lean on a journalism degree. I can promise you that. And I use my business mind more than I do my journalism mind anymore.
I met with a young guy this week. He's a mechanical engineering major, but he's in Ivy to get his sales certificate. So a lot of people don't look it up. It's a sales certificate. It's like a 15 credit program. That's really cool. But his thing was, I'm an engineer. I've got an engineer brain, but I need to know how to talk to people too. I would hire that kid. I would have hired that kid yesterday. Like, I'm sending him to Clover and MechDyne because I was like, you need to hire this guy because he gets it. And you're right. That more than any degree, obviously, you can be an engineer, great, but no one says, hey, you talk to people too well. And that's where business can really step in. And doesn't matter what, Ivy can help you out, even if you're an adult and want to get some continuing education too.
Plant your independence, plant Wiffles. Let's do our really quick Big 12 segment. Just so you know, for those of you making plans, we will have a Big 12 tournament preview show where Rob Gray and I are going to go through the bracket and just get Rob's opinions on all these.
I've got some thoughts on that real quick.
I think we're going to record that, just so y'all know, after the women's game on Monday at some point. So plan on that. You guys can listen to that on your way down to Kansas City. What do you have to say, Bloom?
No, so let me pull this up because it's going to transition into our conversation. Thanks to Wiffles.
Okay. Yeah.
Odds for the Big 12 tournament. Have you seen them?
Oh, well, I'll tell you what. I have an idea just off the top of my head. I think Iowa State would be one of the worst value plays, though.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I mean, I'm just saying, like, blindly, this thing's going off of data. It's not factoring. Iowa State's got to be number two after Houston in the, like, 100s or 200s, but I wouldn't bet on Iowa. It's a bad value play.
So let's run them down. You run them down. I'm telling you guys, if you want to have some fun, and again, you want Iowa State to, we all want Iowa State to win. I want to make that clear. However, I think there's great value with some of those 4-7 seeds in the Big 12 tournament. I really do. So here we go.
Like Houston. BYU?
Yes.
BYU feels like a good play.
That's exactly what I was just going to say.
And I don't even know what the number is, but that's the team I would bet on.
Yep. So here we go. Houston -135.
That's a bad play. That's
well,
no value
but their
there.
Bracket, they're, they man, they get a waltz potentially. Now they play that. They'd play BYU or Tech in the semi, or the quarter. Excuse me.
They would kill Tech.
Yeah.
BYU
anyway,
could
semi,
get interesting.
Semi in the semi. Yeah. Iowa State is the second best odds, and it's not even close at +280.
Yeah.
It's.
I just can't see this team winning three in a row.
I agree with you. I'm just telling people, I mean, if you want to have some fun, have some fun. But just
what I would do, if you want to bet on Iowa State, just bet it game to game. And then if they would play Houston in the championship, you're going to get a +280 odd in one already. Game. You don't need to bet them to win three in a row. That's a bad point.
I think you're right, because I think they will be a pretty decent underdog in that game should they play.
Yeah. That's how you do it.
Third is Baylor at plus 800. Fourth is Kansas at plus 1,200. BYU is fifth at plus 1,500. 15-1 on BYU.
That's the play.
Yeah, and then Texas Tech is 20-1.
You're betting on Baylor or you're betting on BYU. Those are the only futures that make sense.
Yeah, and then even at Texas, Texas has been playing well, and you can get them at 30-1 right now.
It's no way Rodney Terry wins four games in a row.
I do agree with that, but 30-1 is pretty wild considering its talent.
And who does Iowa State want to play? Who would you rather? You'd rather play, Texas, Kansas State, right?
I don't know. I don't think Texas guards, though. Like, at least your offense would feel good against Texas because they don't guard you, really. And they got those little guards. They got those mini Mike guards. So I think Iowa State could do some damage against those guys.
There's going to be a lot going on. I'm still so not used to this bracket. So, like, during our party, there's, like, real games going on.
Yeah, because it's Wednesday.
Like, BYU plays Wednesday at 11:30.
Yeah, that's the game Iowa State played in last year.
Yeah, like, it's so weird.
Yeah, we're all kind of have to get readjusted. Yeah.
6 o'clock is the Kansas State-Texas game, so we're going to have to find a bar stool and go watch that.
Yes, we will.
To scout. Like, I got to work.
We got to work. Got to scout it. We can have a beer while you scout, though, right?
Yeah, I'm not going back to the... I'll be at the arena for availability. I'm not going back after that.
Actually, Wednesday will be a lot of fun for those people that are down there because it's like a no pressure deal. Well, it's like just sit there and watch.
Yeah, there's like games going on. You place a few bets, you know, right. So, anyways, I'm looking forward to that. Let's go through this bracket really fast. I think I'd rather play Kansas State just because. If Iowa State's offense isn't back, at least you can beat them in the 60s. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't feel confident about anybody right now with Iowa State.
I think I'd rather play Texas.
I do feel like Texas will be less desperate than Kansas State would be. Like, yeah, Kansas State won.
Is Texas in?
I don't know. Are they? You're better at that than me.
Mm-hmm. I think they are. I think they're right.
I think they're going to get in, but I think Kansas State, like, they're looking at this, like, if we could win two, maybe we have a shot. They would end with, you know, three wins in a row and two of them over a top 10 team.
That's why I want Texas. You're right. Texas is in. Texas is probably a 7 seed, maybe an 8 seed. Kansas State is definitely not in. So... they're going to be, and then that guy is going to have them all ready to go.
Negating the crowd, too, because Kansas State would have a lot more people there.
Yeah, Texas isn't bringing anybody.
Well, you got a real opportunity for that session on Thursday night in Kansas City to be crazy ticket.
Oh, my gosh.
I already bought mine for my family, but you're looking at putting Kansas State, Iowa State, and Kansas all in the same.
I don't mind being shameless about this because I wasn't sure what session to buy. If anybody has two extra and wants somebody to critique the officiating, let me know because I'll sit next to you. I'll pay you. I don't have tickets. Is that shameless? I don't care.
I was actually talking to your neighbor about this because he's on a trip and he wanted to go down to Kansas City. And I was telling him, I'm like, don't even go to the game. Just go and sit at Power and Light. And
well, the secondary markets for that session is going to be brutal. So again...
I bought it for my family. Well done. Just rolled the dice that they were going to be at 6. And I mean, it's still expensive. Like Upper Deck was like $140 a ticket.
Yeah.
But I bet it's over $200 now.
Tell
me what it is right now. I'd be really interested in this.
I'll look that up for you. But yeah, I just think it's an interesting tournament in general. I think Houston should be the favorite. I mean, they, even though they've had those injuries, C-Dub, they've gotten better. Like, they are just destroying people now, which is
bizarre.
And
they're the best team in the country, I think. I could see
a world where they want to prove that they can win both. You know, I would say, whereas Iowa State would love to win the Big 12, the tournament championship, but I would say Houston's got a little bit more bragging rights than even Iowa State would. Maybe I'm overthinking it.
Well, give me the secondary market, and
I'm
then we'll
trying
get
to
out
find.
Of here.
I, now I can't. Yeah, hold on. I don't want the women's. It's sending me to the women's. I'll find it here, but I can't get it off.
All right,
the,
no worries.
Off of my head. But again, I am looking. Tickets for less. Here we go. Hold on. Don't mind me. This is terrible podcasting, but you guys
it's okay.
Are
people don't care. They know what they've gotten into.
Okay,
with us.
Now here we go. We've got now. I'm on it. I'm on the session. So that would be Thursday, March 14th.
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock session. The lowest price. That's not bad. Now you're row six in the uppers. It's $130 each.
Yeah, and Ticket for Less doesn't have all the fees like StubHub and those.
But
things.
If you go in the lower C-Dub, you're talking about $400 and above.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to play. Yeah, that's a lot of money. And then $200 on the end. Yeah, that's. Oof. So
I would just go belly up somewhere and watch the game.
Yeah. Or you hope K-State loses to Texas and you gobble those folks' tickets up. Is always the game you can play.
Yeah, that's really the smart way to do it when you're down there in Kansas City.
I'm excited to see everybody. I mean, honestly, that's where it's like, gosh, I want Iowa State to win it all because there is no better week in the year.
It's the best. It's the best
hanging out in
it.
Kansas City. And so
that's why it's such a hard predicament to talk about because, like, no, I don't want them to lose. And then everybody's mad. But another valuable, we'll leave you on this, was 2 years ago. When they laid that egg and scored in the 30s against Oklahoma State, I think it was Oklahoma State. I mean, we had like Texas legitimate Otzelberger should be, he can't cut this, like fire him, forums, like, and then they ended up in the Sweet 16. So I know, my point is with this March stuff, it's just, you don't know. Like now we're all kind of down on this offense and rightfully so, but they could turn it around. You don't know. You have no idea. So
yeah. And
let's enjoy it.
I mean, that's the thing is like, okay, we're disappointed. Everyone's kind of seeing this happening. We kept talking about it for the last 2 weeks. Like you're just waiting for one of those clunkers and Iowa State got a clunker and you honestly,
hopefully now instead of the LSU game,
glass half full, your clunker was in a game that was relatively meaningless,
or
not
Pitt.
A game
I
in March.
Saying LSU, Pittsburgh. Pitt.
Yeah. Pitt. Yeah. Tried to forget it. So Iowa State has put itself in a much better position as well than they were a year ago. A 2-seed playing a 15 or a 3 playing a 14 is wildly different than playing a Power 5 team from the ACC like Pittsburgh was, who had the bodies, who had the size, and handled Iowa State's pressure pretty well. I think Iowa State, in the grand scheme of things, I think this will be a blip. Now, you want to make a Final Four. You're going to run into a difficult game that you need to make some shots, but I'm optimistic Iowa State, just with the home crowd in Omaha and the way it plays and how good Iowa State is defensively, do not lose track that Iowa State is the second best defensive team in the nation. That is going to cause a whole host of problems for your normal teams, and Iowa State can live off that. Now, to make a Final Four, offense has to be better, but let's give these guys a couple days rest. You hope from Saturday to Thursday is enough rest to get them going, and everything's going to be okay and ready to rock in NCAA.
Credit to the program and the team too for getting that double bye and not having to play.
That's
on Wednesday.
Huge, 100%.
That extra day is a really big deal.
That's
really
why,
big deal.
And that's why you ball out as much as you can in January and February. You get that extra bye, which is huge this time of year. So absolutely.
Yeah. All right, Bloom.
Ev, what's your hold on? Ev's got a.
All right.
Who's going to win the Big 12 tournament?
Iowa State.
Okay. All right.
Well, he likes that 280. By the way,
he's right there with Vegas.
I don't believe Missouri has legalized gambling.
Oh.
Kansas does.
Kansas. You can just drive across the river.
Yes.
Are you sure?
Who's going to win the women's game tomorrow?
I don't know.
Iowa State.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. A little less confident on
less
that.
Confident.
Yeah. All right.
Thanks, pal. We'll see you down there.
For Everett Bloom, for Brent Bloom, I'm Chris Williams. And we will be back. We'll have another Williams and Bloom this week at some point. We will have the show with Rob Gray as well. We'll preview the Big 12 tournament that's coming up. And we'll have that for you guys to drive down to Kansas City with. All right. Thanks to Mechdyne for sponsoring here. We are in the Wild Rose Casino Studios. Signing off on the Psych One Fanatic Podcast Network.